In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Jesus is accused. He stands accused by the Jews once again because of jealousy, and they make a very irreverent remark. You see, the condemnation that Jesus lays at their feet is one that they deserve because they have blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. Now, the Jews, more than any other people, knew the Holy Spirit. They knew it from the prophecies. They knew it from the miracles of the Old Testament. The Spirit of God was evident everywhere in the life of the Jew. And the Jew was even taught to learn to look symbolically. If you look at the way in which the temple was built, if you look at all of the furnishings of the temple, they were all referencing something else that was immaterial and out of sight. Many people have said this, Malcolm Muggeridge for one: you must look not with the eye, but through the eye. When we look at an icon, it doesn't stop at the image. It should not stop. This is why it's called a window or a door of perception. You see it and you see what it references. And then you see the acts of the man or the woman who has been brought to this point of holiness through her obedience or his obedience to God. And you look through all of these things and you see the invitation to you individually. Because certainly these are individuals. They did not live the same life, although the sanctification was the same, the Lord was the same, and the worship was the same. But the way in which they did it was unique as we who are congregated in this church this day are unique. When you see with the eye, you stop at the image. This is why when people look at men particularly, look at a beautiful woman. You look at her and then you make of her an object. This is why pornography is so much a part of the daily activity of every man in the world who can access it, who has the ability to access it. He makes an object. He doesn't look through the image of the woman and see the hand that created her. He does not see that for which she was designed to function as on earth. So seeing with the eye is bad. You stop at the image. Through the eye, you reference all of the things of the portent of the image. It's a very important distinction. Jesus Christ says to the Jews, look, am I doing good things or am I doing bad things? Well, you're doing some good things, but by a bad resource. Jesus says to them, look, you have a piece of fruit. What is there in this piece of fruit that it doesn't tell you about the tree? For this piece of fruit that I have in my hand, I'm asking you now to all look through the eye and not with the eye, because I'm holding up air. If you look at this piece of fruit, there are things that you may infer about the tree that are infallible. You will not be wrong. The tree had to be irrigated well. There had to be enough sunshine on it. It had to have deep roots. Because look at the size of this piece of fruit. Have you ever seen the difference in the size of fruit in some cultures and in other cultures? Have you ever seen the bananas of Egypt? They're what? 6 inches in length, 8 inches maybe. And then you see Chiquita. Here comes good old Chiquita, man. She's like 12, 14 inches. But you can tell a lot about the tree from the fruit. What can you tell about the small banana that is missing in the large banana, and that is sweetness? So you can directly infer that from which the tree drew its nourishment was a rich soil. A rich soil. Jesus says, look around you. Here's a man who was demon possessed. He couldn't see. He could not speak. Now he both speaks and he sees. This is the fruit from the tree. You see, the blasphemy against the Spirit is also a direct blasphemy against God. Because you may be, as many people were in the beginning, not quite certain about Jesus Christ, because he looks like an ordinary man. Well, almost ordinary. I have my own feeling about this. I feel that Jesus Christ, because he took flesh from Saint Mary, and there wasn't a similar donation of flesh, that he was bilaterally symmetrical. And one of the ways that we judge beauty is when you see something that is perfectly symmetrical. So I imagine looking at the face of Christ, you will not find a blemish. You won't find a sunspot or a big freckle. You won't find one side of his mouth a little higher than the other. If you put a piece of cardboard around your face like this, vertically, and this way horizontally, you will see you are not symmetrical. But I believe that Jesus was the most beautiful creation ever. More beautiful than Saint Mary, more beautiful than the angels. Perfect in every way. But he still looked like a man. He still would hunger and thirst. He would still tire. Now he did this to imitate us, because he was not in need. Through his divinity, he could have done anything he wished, and he did, with that very same body. But he allowed his expression of humanness, which he took from Saint Mary, so that we could be vicariously represented in all the salvific acts. I hate that word. I always like salvic. And I'm sure that was used at one time. In all of the salvic acts, Ramas, the pain of mistaking the image and what it represented as being fallible. You may say anything against Jesus Christ, and he will accept it. But when you speak about his Godhead represented in the acts themselves, as he said at the last, he said, for which of my bad acts do you judge me? When he was brought before the high priest, for which of these things do you judge me? For what am I called into account? Because you make yourself equal to God. They didn't see. But we do. But the thing that is a takeaway for us now is just not the historical lesson of the mistake of the Jews. And for peoples today, because if you look, how many people today worship the Lord Jesus Christ, as is a percentage of all the total population of the earth? It's still a very small population that worships Christ. But He said, this is not going to be the primary offense. It's that once having experienced something, you then deny its origin. Now, we live in a time where there is such a sophistication of deceit. Some people believe that we are a flat earth, that we are a disc. People do not believe that the lunar landing was a fact. They believe that this was something engendered by people that wanted to vaunt America, and it was created in Hollywood. And there are things that deceive our palate. I have eaten things that I was told were vegetarian, and it tasted altogether as though it were meat. I have tasted things that I was told was a sugar substitute, and it was a really good substitute for sugar. So sensually, yes, I can be deceived, but that's not the way in which the spirit is experienced. You experience the spirit physically, yes. You may see, you may touch, you may taste, you know. But at the end, there is some residue of the contact. And it is imprinted upon your soul. So you deny yourself and your own heritage in this time. I remember hearing about a Jew during the late 30s and very early 40s in Nazi Germany. A Jew. This is when he found himself in a crowd and Hitler was giving a speech and he was raising up his arm saying, Heil Hitler, not from fear of being unlike anybody else in the crowd, but because he was so aroused by this thing, he forgot himself. He forgot the meaning of the words and the emotion that rolled over him. He joined those who hated him and his own kind. We can be fooled and we can make fools of ourselves, but when the intent to be foolish is because we are in pursuit of another object, then we have made that object, willingly or not, knowingly or unknowingly, equal to God. People are in church today and some people aren't. People in your own families, you know them. Some are in church, some are not in church. Why aren't the ones who know God in church? Because they're worshiping something else. It's a simple thing. You don't have to make excuses for them. Oh, they're busy. Oh, they're ill. Oh, they have a problem. Believe me, when you get ill, when you get really ill, the first thing that you want is for God to come and visit you in the form of the priest bringing you communion. But why now? Because they have other gods, and the Lord has said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. They do this to themselves. We do this to ourselves occasionally. We find ourselves in here today because of our obedience. You know, we make sin through choice. We choose sin, or we choose holiness and righteousness. And by these choices, we're going to be known. As it says, every word that comes out of your mouth, you're going to have to give an account of. Sorry to end on a preposition. That's grammatically not right. But you are going to have to look in the face of the one who made you and then explain why you cursed him. Why did you curse him? Why did you curse God? Why? He says, was I there? Was I there in that moment? say, no, you were completely absent. I absented you. I didn't think about you at all. I thought about myself. I thought about what I wanted, and I thought that I wanted to escape the situation that I was in, and I thought I've got to hold somebody responsible, so it must be the powers that be. And I have learned to call out your name when I think about the powers to be. But we make choices. The Jews made a choice. Now, it says that this sin of blasphemy will never be forgiven. That's not what the plurality of the church fathers, especially St. John Chrysostom or St. Augustine or St. Ambrose of Milan, various church fathers. They do not believe that there is anything that will not be forgiven ultimately, but you must come to your senses . And that's why I hope for all of you to have a lingering death, so that when you have a final decision made about your viability by a team of doctors, they will say you have this amount of time to live. Then you can get yourself right with everyone. You can see your friends. You can see your family. You can make apologies. You can take time. Abuna Bishoy Kamel called cancer a blessed disease because it gives one time to sort out the books, to make reparations, and to make the path straight for the kingdom, so that you will not be caught by the back of your neck as one does a runaway child and grabs him. It's something that I hope for myself. And since I'm probably as old as anybody here, it will happen to me statistically first. So you will get to see. And I promise you, you will not see sadness cross my face. I promise you that. And I invite all of you to come when you see me on my bed of pain at the end, because this is the time where the great preparation takes place. This is the time where you are dressing yourself in the wedding clothes for the feast of the Lamb. This is the time when you go to make yourself known to the true bridegroom. And so you clothe yourself. And I've had the privilege of seeing people die. And some people have died exceedingly well, and they are the example. You know, one of the things that we play with as human beings is time. I have time. I don't have to do it right now. I'm not going to die right now. I'm not going to be stricken. I've got time. I myself boast that, not boast, but I want to live to be 90. Okay? Now, the chances of that, me wishing it to be so and coming true, is zero. It may be that God wants me to live. Or maybe God has said, this is the last time you will hear my voice and see my face. But I know this, that I have plans for the next 18 years. And you know the old saying, man plans and God laughs. But I have plans. There are things that I would like to do. And I'm hoping that I will have the time in which to do them. And the fact that I haven't done them now means that I have been doing all my previous years that which I am now doing right now, which I tell you is not intelligent. I'm counting on having something that is not in my hand. I can say I was right about being 50 and saying, oh, I'm going to live, because I did. But am I right about saying I'm 72 and I'm going to live? Well, Time will tell, won't it? But it won't be because of my boast or because of my need or because of my desire. But I tell you, we have to prepare ourselves. It can come at any time. And the Jews are the example. They did not know that in their day this would come. But look what has happened to them, the people of God. They couldn't be citizens of any place in the world until the formation of Israel. And that was done by the fiat, by the Balfour resolution. It was not done because they went down to Palestine and took a vote of all the indigenous peoples. They just said, here. So, judge with good judgment. Be respectful. Be circumspect. And of all things, be gentle in your judgment. Glory be to our good Father, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.